Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin, on this cold and rainy hump day here in mid-Michigan. Really hope you have the umbrella handy for today because this rain may last throughout the majority of your Wednesday afternoon. But we've got a great show in store for all of you out there. Hopefully we can bring some sunshine to your cloudy day as we will talk MSU men's basketball. A big day today. I tell you what, I've been so busy this week with so much going on in the sports world, especially this is like the time of the year when hoops and football begin to collide. Working nonstop, folks. I love it, though. Can't complain, right? Tom Izzo will be speaking at 1:45 p.m. for Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. So immediately, right after I get off the air at 2 p.m., Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's current sports, along with myself, will be heading down to the Breslin Center to bring you coverage from Media Day. We'll be chatting with the team, as well as head coach Tom Izzo, and we will have a two-minute drill report via Facebook.com/current sports later on this evening. Don't miss any of that coverage. But in light of it being MSU Men's Basketball Media Day, we will talk MSU hoops at the top of the hour, and we'll sort of break down the expectations and goals for this upcoming Spartan year. Pretty high expectations in the eyes of many Spartan basketball fans. Also, we'll briefly touch on the Detroit Pistons falling to the Toronto Raptors in preseason action. It's NBA preseason basketball. It absolutely means nothing. However, we'll talk about what we've seen so far, especially last night when it comes to the Detroit Pistons. And also, we'll have two guests on today's current sports. Danton Cole will join me around the 1:30 mark. He is the first-year Michigan State University head hockey coach. Danton will talk about his goals and expectations as Michigan State hockey gets the regular season underway. And we will welcome to the show around the 1:45 p.m. mark, Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Alan will talk about how he's recovered since the loss to in-state rival Michigan State on Saturday night. He'll also break down the expectations now for the Wolverines as the season moves along. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, multiple ways you can do so. You know the number, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and watch the live stream there. And you can weigh in below the video as well. And you can also join us via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports are the two Twitter handles in which you can weigh in on anything that is on your sports noggin. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with news from the pros when it comes to Detroit professional sports. We'll start with the Detroit Lions, who will be without their best defensive tackle for the rest of the season. Breaking news today, the Lions have placed Haloti Ngata on injured reserve today because of a biceps injury he suffered in the first half of last week's loss to the Carolina Panthers. Ngata will undergo season-ending surgery in California on Thursday and is expected to miss at least 4 months. He will not return this year. What a blow that is, right? Acquired in a 2015 trade with the Baltimore Ravens, Ngata had 7 tackles and 2 sacks in 5 games for the Lions this year and was generally considered the best interior run defender. Well, the 3-2 Lions will have to move on now as they will hit the road to play the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. All right. John Klingberg had a goal and an assist for the Dallas Stars in a 4-2 win against the Detroit Red Wings at American Airlines Center on Tuesday. Dallas coach Ken Hitchcock got NHL win number 782 to tie Al Arbor for 3rd in league history. Detroit defenseman Danny DeKeyser left in the second period because of a lower body injury. Jeff Blashill said DeKeyser will be reevaluated on Wednesday. Today, Red Wings defenseman Mike Green had 2 assists, giving him 6 in 3 games. The Red Wings will next play the Arizona Coyotes on the road this Thursday at 10 p.m. The Detroit Pistons hit the road for their 4th preseason game yesterday, their first away from Little Caesars Arena this season, facing the Toronto Raptors. The Pistons got Andre Drummond back after he missed the last 2 games because of conjunctivitis. Plus, Reggie Jackson played for the 2nd straight night, showing he was over his groin soreness, and the knee tendonitis issues are becoming really less of a worry. Didn't have a great performance last night from RJ. We'll elaborate on that later on this hour. The Raptors took advantage of the Pistons being on a back-to-back preseason game streak, surging to a 10-point lead at halftime for the Raptors and cruising in the second half to a 116-94 blowout last night. The Pistons fell to 2-2 and finished the preseason on Friday night at the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, former Michigan football player Nate Johnson had a pretrial hearing adjourned to a later date today in Ann Arbor's 15th District Court. Johnson, who appeared Wednesday today before Judge Elizabeth Pollard Hines with attorney Douglas Lewis, faces 1 charge of misdemeanor domestic violence stemming from an alleged September 30th incident in Ann Arbor. The Thompson Station, Tennessee product was dismissed from Michigan's football program last week. ABC's Saturday night football game that featured the in-state rivals of Michigan State and Michigan earned a total live audience of 6,628,000 viewers. Wow. And was the most watched college football game of the week, announced by ESPN. The 2nd most watched game was the Alabama at Texas A&M game, also on ESPN, which had an audience of 4,774,000 viewers. That game also was played at the 7:30 p.m. time slot. Now, the more than 6.6 million viewers that witnessed that Spartans victory was 18% higher than last season's Week 6 game that featured Florida State at Miami. The audience on ESPN for Alabama's win was up 7% from the network's equivalent game last year, which featured Alabama at Arkansas. All right, Jamel Hill, MSU alum, of course, a longtime reporter and now anchor for ESPN SportsCenter. ESPN colleagues rushed to defend Jamel Hill after Donald Trump posted a scathing tweet on Tuesday morning, and now Hill has voiced her own appreciation. In her first tweet since ESPN announced a 2-week suspension for violating the company's social media guidelines, Hill offered a sincere thanks to co-host Michael Smith, tweeting, "I love you, at Michael Smith, for being my biggest supporter, a great friend, terrific husband, and father. I truly don't deserve you. See you soon." Smith has co-hosted ESPN SportsCenter's SC6 alongside Hill since February in a format that focuses sports in popular culture. Now, Smith did not appear on the evening's SC6 broadcast following ESPN's announcement of Hill's suspension, but Michael Smith will return today for the SC6 broadcast. All right, the Michigan State field hockey team defeated Central Michigan University in a dominant fashion, 3-0 on Tuesday afternoon out on the road in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. The Spartans improved to 7-7 on the season while sitting at 1-3 in Big Ten play. CMU falls to 0-14 on the year and 0-3 in the Mid-American Conference. MSU dominated the shot count on the afternoon, tallying 38 shots to just 6 from the Chippewas. The green and white earned 10 penalty corners compared to 1 earned by CMU. The Spartans will return home Friday to host number 18 Rutgers in a Big Ten battle. The match is scheduled to begin at 4 p.m. at Ralph Young Field in East Lansing and can be seen on the Big Ten Network. And last but not least, the MSU men's soccer team, number 6 Michigan State men's soccer, completes its 3-game road trip today at 7 p.m. The Spartans, which have a 9-1-2 record, 3-0 in the Big Ten Conference, will travel to Morgantown to take on West Virginia, which sits at 6-3-3 on the year, 0-0-1 in the MAC. The Spartans, in the MAC, the Spartans have gone 2-0-1 in their last 3 games, defeating number 16 Ohio State and number 12 Western Michigan and tying Wisconsin. Last time out, MSU battled the weather and the Badgers to a 1-1 double OT tie against Wisconsin on Saturday. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports. And watch the live stream, and you can also weigh in there as well. A few comments coming in as I speak. And you can also join us via Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR, and at WKAR_sports.
Chance for Bolivia that's converted. So 2-1 there. Driven across towards the penalty spot. Tips up and in. And Winchester, not even sure how he did it. It's a trick shot of sorts, but it loops over Tim Howard and Trinidad and Tobago in front. Long distance blast. Doesn't do that justice.
Living in America. I love that joint. Love that joint. Absolutely love that joint. That's from Rocky IV. As you guys remember, that song was played before the really sad moment in the Rocky franchise, Apollo Creed going against the Russian. Yeah, I'm about to shed a tear just thinking about it. But love this joint, right? Living in America. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports right here in America, in East Lansing, Michigan, to be exact. Want to start by just repping the hometown, the home country of my mother. A lot of people don't know. I don't know if I think I've shared this on WKAR's Current Sports, but my mom is born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago. So I'm half Trinidadian. My mom is West Indian, and she was pretty happy. Here in America, a lot of Americans aren't happy, right, after what happened last night. But she was pretty happy watching Trinidad and Tobago rep her home country last night, breaking the hearts of many Americans, though, as now, Isaac, America has been eliminated from World Cup contention with that loss to Trinidad and Tobago last night. I was following it very lightly here, and because I was watching the BET Hip Hop Awards were on as well. I was kind of flipping back and forth between that and what was happening in Trinidad, well, against Trinidad and Tobago and USA. And also, I went to the gym last night, too. But just your reaction. You're a big soccer head. I'm not. So looking at the U.S. of A., I thought they were trending upward, but I guess not.
Yeah. Shocking, shocking, shocking result. I mean, this will be the first time that America has not been in a World Cup in over 30 years, since 1986. To put that into perspective, since then, America has sent players who you never thought would have left the U.S. to Germany, to England, to Spain, all over, to Italy. Michael Bradley, the captain of America, plays for Roma. And I remember, speaking of Michael from Saginaw asked me one time on the show what I thought of the hire of Bruce Arena, the former LA Galaxy coach who is now the coach of the U.S. men's national team. And I say it was a horrible, horrible hire.
Why was it a horrible hire?
Because he already had a crack at this team for once. It's almost as if, you know, you break up with a girl, you do it for a reason, right? You probably shouldn't get right back with her afterwards. That's what the U.S. men's national team did, and the same bad habits festered. Then he didn't do anything incredible with the national team either. Klinsmann, the former coach of the U.S. men's national team, at least had that international reputation, one of the best strikers in recent history when it comes to Europe. So he was able to attract some big names from other countries to play for the U.S. Arena does not do that. But the thing is, the U.S. needed a tie against the lowly. And I don't say this is any insult to Trinidad.
I'm repping my hood, man. Trinidad and Tobago, baby.
I'm not hating on it.
Yeah, they haven't been great. I get what you're saying.
They had one win going into it. And that was, I believe, in their first or second game. Since then, they had not won. The U.S. needed a draw. And even if they didn't get a draw, if Panama or if Honduras would have dropped points, the U.S. would have been fine. But it was that perfect storm, almost like when Auburn beat Alabama on the last second field goal return. You remember that play?
Of course. Who doesn't? Yeah, that was the kick
six. It was like Chris Davis, I believe, was the returner's name. I could be wrong about that. But Alabama actually had to challenge the play in order to get a second back on the clock, attempt a 59-yarder, kick it, and that was returned for a touchdown. That's how the U.S.'s game essentially was like. So it's shocking. If you're an America fan, you should be disgusted. The good news is you're going to have a country in the World Cup instead of America, being Panama, that actually will care about the result of it. The thing is, when America goes to a World Cup, it doesn't really matter to anybody, and they've been stagnant for years. So
take a four-year break. You know, we had, when the last time the U.S. of A. went to the World Cup, I believe that was like, what, 2013, right?
2014.
It was crazy up here in East Lansing. I mean, bars were packed. People were going nuts watching their run. I would, you know, that's the only time I watch soccer is during the World Cup. And I remember I was glued to my TV watching it, and it just captivated the nation. And now the U.S. won't be in it now, so it's like, It's a blow to the popularity of soccer here in America, for sure. All right, moving on, though. MSU Men's Basketball Media Day is today, folks. And again, we will have coverage from Media Day later on this afternoon. Tom Izzo will be talking in about 25 minutes at the Breslin Center. This team has a ton of lofty expectations, seeing as though the announcement of Miles Bridges returning for a sophomore campaign, it sent shockwaves throughout the college basketball world, because now you have Bridges coming back along with the sophomore campaigns of players like Josh Langford, Cassius Winston, as well as Nick Ward. If you remember, I mean, you could argue that, you know, that recruiting class of those four players of Bridges, Ward, Winston, and Langford is the best recruiting class that Tom Izzo's ever had. And they were great last year, but this team had so many injuries, and of course they were eliminated by Kansas in the NCAA tournament last season. So you get those four stout players back, along with the incoming freshmen that are going to be special, I think, right off bat. Jaren Jackson Jr., and then you have Michigan Mr. Basketball runner-up Xavier Tillman. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a stretch forward. He can hit the jumper. He can go down low and give you buckets. He's got so much length and height on the defensive end. He's going to be special, a very special player, possibly a one-and-done player. Xavier Tillman, those locally know that name because, again, you've seen him at the Breslin Center, you know, last year, you know, and he's just a stout player, 6'8", big body post player. Needs to work on his conditioning and strength, but hey, he's a freshman, and it was pretty cool watching him go at it with, you know, Nick Ward during the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. Xavier Tillman looks great, but you combine those two players with this already stout roster, and you have a Michigan State men's basketball program that right now is favored to go all the way and win the NCAA national championship in the eyes of many. Now, again, we haven't even played one game yet. They still haven't even played an exhibition game yet. So, you know, you have a lot of chatter, though, surrounded around this team based on the talent that is currently on this roster. And, you know, Tom Izzo, you know, he always says, and I'm pretty sure you'll hear this quote later on this afternoon as he takes the podium. You know, he talks about, you know, the biggest jump that you make in your college basketball career, if you decide to stay for at least a second year, is between your freshman and sophomore year. So you look at a guy like Nick Ward. Now, I really do believe that Nick Ward, you know, again, there's a lot of hype surrounding around Miles Bridges, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Ward possibly led this team in scoring, to be honest with you. I mean, he's one of the best freshman bigs in the nation. He averaged 14 points per game last year in less than 20 minutes per game. Remarkable. His per 40 numbers, 28 points, 13 boards. If you give him more minutes, he can put the ball in the basket, basically. Now, he does have some struggles. Those struggles primarily on the defensive end of the floor. He struggles to protect the rim and defend pick and rolls. But I must say, you know, Nick Ward is going to be a force for this team. Look at the amount of times that he got to the free throw line last year. 11.5 times per 40 minutes. And I think he's added to his repertoire when it comes to his offensive arsenal down low. He showed off that spin move that he fell in love with last year. He showed off that spin move again this summer in the Moneyball Summer League. But again, it's Summer League basketball. So again, keep that in perspective there. But I love his offensive weaponry offensively, and his jump hooks look fantastic as well. So, and to kind of put it in perspective for Nick Ward as well, you know, the Spartans scored 106.6 points per 100 possessions when Miles Bridges was on the floor. With Ward on the floor, that number rose to 110, which actually tops the team. Impressive stuff. I'm excited about Nick Ward. Now, when it comes to Miles Bridges, you know, we talked about on yesterday's show how Miles Bridges right now, he is also favored as a National Player of the Year candidate. And right now, I believe a threat to average around 20 points per game. He averaged 16.9 points per game last season. That was second for a freshman in MSU men's basketball history to the one, the only, Irvin Magic Johnson. And I think if he improves as a shooter, you know, the jumper is a really big part of the sales pitch for Miles Bridges to be a lottery pick for this upcoming NBA draft next year. You know, he averaged 2 3-point makes per game. That's a solid 38.9 percentile 4 miles from beyond the arc. But he only shot 68.5% from the free throw line, which was a bit puzzling to me. So I think if he bumps up that free throw percentage while also maintaining those 3-point numbers, I mean, Miles Bridges' stock is only going to do nothing but rise here. And you know, also, you look at how Miles gets his points, Isaac. We saw a lot of the buckets from Miles Bridges coming, what, in transition? Drives, lobs, putbacks. I really am going to be interested to see if Miles has, you know, you talk about adding to an offensive repertoire. I would love to see Miles, you know, face up against the defense and really improve on his shot creation. You know, he's got so much power. He's already got an NBA body. He's got so much power and burst that to just have 3.3 free throw attempts in 32 minutes per game, that was shocking to me. That should be that should go up as well for Miles. But I love Miles Bridges. You know that. And again, you know, to talk about his value for this team. I mean, when he made his announcement to come back last year, I mean, everybody and my grandmother showed up at the Spartan statue to listen to that announcement. It was very emotional for Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo was sitting right next to Miles and his parents, and I believe Miles' sister as well up there. And Tom Izzo was getting emotional. He was getting emotional about how special this upcoming year could be for his team and just how special of a kid Miles Bridges is. Taya Reimer, MSU women's basketball player and reporter and production assistant for us, she was on the show to close things out yesterday and said that, hey, it wasn't a surprise to her hearing that Miles Bridges wanted to come back. He's enjoying college. He's a great athlete. He just has to stay healthy. And that's the big thing when you talk about a player who could have went to the NBA after his first campaign, after his freshman campaign, deciding to come back. You just hope that nothing crazy happens. Knock on wood. If Miles Bridges stays healthy, he will be a top five pick, Isaac.
He will. There's not a question about it. And especially part of the reason he stayed, which we highlighted, last year's draft class was filled with talent. And it's not to say that Miles Bridges didn't belong among that talent, but he did as a lottery pick. As you mentioned, this year, he belongs amongst that talent as a top five pick. So he's got a lot to prove still. He's got a chance to be number one or two. He really could go that high in the draft depending on the year. And now you were reading my mind because I said last year what Miles Bridges needs to add to his offensive repertoire for NBA teams to really look at this guy and think he can play the two, he can play the three, he can step in immediately. Mm-hmm. And contribute offensively is a mid-range game. And by that, I don't just mean a jump shot. The jump shot looks good on Bridges, and he shocked all of us with how he shot the three last year at a 39% clip.
I didn't think that he, especially watching his jumper, you know, in the summer league before he came up here, I'm sitting there saying, it doesn't look that great. Doesn't look that great. If there's one area that he needs to improve on, it's got to be that jump shot.
Exactly.
But it looked fine from the start of the year on for Miles Bridges last season.
It did. And this year, it's just about not expanding the range so much for him as it is developing your arsenal of moves with which you can get that jump shot off, such as a step back, such as a half spin into a jump shot, a turnaround in the post. All of those will go a long way in helping sophomore year Miles Bridges validate all the hype, validate the draft stock. The other thing I'd love to see, Al, I know you remember covering the first preseason game last year. We were so excited about it, for one, just to see Bridges. But the way he passed, if I'm not mistaken, he had one pass to McQuaid cutting underneath the basket where afterwards he was cheesing. He was so happy with the play. And we saw a peek into the potential Bridges has as an offensive playmaker as well. Last year, he averaged 2 assists a game, which is not bad by any stretch, but he also offered up 2.4 turnovers a game. This year, he's got more weapons around him. It's his chance to penetrate and then deliver to teammates.
Well, that's the thing. He had to score last year. I mean, they had injuries right off the bat. And it's another thing I'm excited about when it comes to this team. You know, you look at the entire roster now, and many times we even saw Miles Bridges having to play the center during certain points of the game. I mean, you're two big guys for this team last year for many games were like Kenny Goings and Miles Bridges because of preseason injuries to Gavin Schilling and Ben Carter. But you get those two back now. I was very surprised that the UNLV transfer of Ben Carter was able to get a sixth year of eligibility. He's back now. You have Gavin Schilling, who I think is going to have a breakout year, probably the best year of his MSU career, I think. He's got so much size. He's very muscular and can do a lot of things down low. And also, I haven't even touched on Josh Langford and Cassius Winston. So right now, we're going to hit our first break because we got to get to our first guest of today's Current Sports, Danton Cole, first-year head hockey coach for Michigan State University. And then we'll have Alan Gant, former U of M linebacker, to recap from the Michigan perspective what occurred on Saturday night against Michigan State. But again, keep it locked to Facebook.com/Current Sports later on this evening as we will have a two-minute drill report from Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up segment A addressing the United States loss to Trinidad and Tobago last night, officially eliminating the U.S. of A from World Cup contention. And we, of course, transition from there to talk briefly MSU men's basketball as the Michigan State men's basketball team is holding media day. Right now, the media is chowing down on some lunch, and then Tom Izzo will talk at 1:45, followed by player interviews inside of the Breslin Center on the Breslin Center floor. And right now, I want to transition from that to now talk some MSU hockey, because the regular season is literally days away. Michigan State hockey head coach Danton Cole actually met with the media on Tuesday, right after MSU football coach Mark D'Antonio spoke during his weekly press conference at Spartan Stadium. And Cole addressed the media to preview the opening series this weekend versus Bowling Green. The Spartans and Falcons will meet on Friday at 7:30 p.m. at Bowling Green. And then on Saturday, also, well, I should say 30 minutes, you know, before, at 7 p.m. on Saturday at Munn Ice Arena. And right now via phone, we have first-year head coach of the Michigan State hockey team, Danton Cole, live here on WKAR's Current Sports. Danton, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Danton, just kind of put in perspective right now the amount of excitement that you have to start your first official year as head coach of this program. What has been going through your mind?
Well, you know what? It has. I think exciting is probably the best way to put it. Since getting the job, you know, you put a lot of work in, and you try and build and get some things ready, and finally now we get to, you know, get out on the ice Friday and Saturday and play some meaningful games. So it should be a lot of fun. I think the other thing that's been, at least for I think us as a staff, real exciting and real rewarding is just the work that our guys have put in. They did a great job this summer. They worked incredibly hard, showed up in great shape, and they've been real attentive, and we've had their attention, and I think we've accomplished some things, and it'll be fun to see where we're at this weekend.
Yeah, and speaking of the summer, Danton, as you guys prepare for this year, I mean, what sort of things did you try to focus on coming in as a first-year head coach to try and really build that chemistry for this squad?
Well, it's interesting over the summers. You know, we're really I don't want to say hampered, but restricted in terms of how much time we can spend with the guys. We can't skate. We can't do workouts. If they're here taking classes, we can kind of be around them. But I think what we tried to establish before they left was tried to get as many guys to stick around for the summer and do as many things together and kind of push each other in that sense. And we ended up with about 17 or 18 guys here most of the summer. So that was really good. And I think that, you know, just having them around each other, having the right kind of camaraderie and competition and workouts and skates, just doing stuff together. together, I think really moved it down the line a little bit. And when we got back and were able to start getting on the ice and work out with them as a team, I think we were in a pretty good spot, and I think they were pretty focused and ready to get going. So that in and of itself was probably the biggest thing that we could do over the summer.
Danton, of course, so on October 4th, you guys held your first exhibition with the Green and White game, and then this past Saturday versus Toronto in exhibition play, you all topped Toronto 3-0. What have you liked from your squad just watching, again, it's exhibition play, but what kind of takeaways can you draw from those two matchups?
Well, you know, I thought a few things, and you know what, we geared our summer workouts around, and Mike Borkovic did a really nice job with it. It was just, you know, on speed and power, and the guys did a lot of sprint work and a lot of Olympic lifts, and you know what, I thought we were fast. I think speed kills, and if you're going to make mistakes, at least if you're doing them fast, you got a chance to recover. So I thought, you know, in terms of defending and pushing the pace of play, our guys did a real nice job. So we enjoyed that. We probably moved the puck better and were more organized coming out of our own zone and through the neutral zone than I thought we would have been at this point. So that was good. And, you know, Toronto gave us a good test, but nothing like Bowling Green well this weekend. It's going to be a high-paced game. So we'll find out a little more about ourselves. But I thought those things were good. I thought, you know, system play, the guys have picked up on it fairly well, and we've thrown a lot at them, and at least the staff has been impressed that they've been able to comprehend as much as they have and apply quite a bit of it as well.
Danton, we both saw Ed Minnie as well as John Letheman in nets as goalie. Each made 7 saves in the game against Toronto. Who right now is leading that race?
You know, it's been close. You know, neither of them obviously hurt themselves on Saturday night against Toronto. And we've been, you know, Joe Ekster works with our goalies, does a great job. And, you know, he had a meeting and kind of set it up as a competition. It has to be a friendly competition. And they'll battle it right out till they've got 2 more practices. And then, you know, we'll see on Friday night who we go with. But we've been happy with both of them. They've worked hard. Their attitude has been really good. Like I said, they've been competitive but friendly. And you know what? Hopefully the best thing we can have is real hard decisions throughout the year on who we're going to play in that.
Danton, there are a few that are picking Michigan State to finish last in the Big Ten Conference. I'm sure you've heard that chatter. In what way are you using that as motivation, if at all?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's be truthful. It's probably more than a few people, but that's okay. You know what? Those things are what they are. They're a snapshot in time and what people think without having seen our team. So, but you know what? You do. You use it as motivation. And I think anywhere you're at, you want to use that. You know, shoot, if they pick you at first, you know, it's you against the world because everybody's gunning for you. And if they pick you where they did us, then it's you against the world because no one respects you. So, you know what? Anything that you can use to have motivation is fine. But I think the thing we've been trying to strive here culturally and to have is to have that internal fire where, you know, regardless of what people are saying outside the room, that the 25 guys in the room want to prove something every night. And whatever gets you to that point, then it's okay. And if it's something negative, like the ratings like that, that's fine. If it's something positive, you know, whether it's your self-talk or the week that you had in practice, you've got to find something. And that's what good athletes do. They find something that intrinsically motivates them that they can turn on when they need it. Hopefully, culturally, we're finding that where it's an every night thing around here.
Danton Cole, first-year head coach of the Michigan State hockey team. And with that being said, Danton, I mean, are you hoping that, you know, the Michigan State hockey fan base puts that in perspective that, hey, this may take a minute to get the wheels back on the track. If some may be thinking, okay, Danton Cole's here now. We're going to start winning immediately. What are you hoping that, you know, that the fan base, I guess you can say, reacts to when it comes to expectations in your first year as head coach? Are you hoping they give you kind of some leeway?
Well, you know what? You know, I've been around the game long enough. I know there's not a ton of leeway and especially with Michigan State hockey, you know, there's pretty high expectations, and that's good. I've got those same expectations, but I think what people, hopefully what they're looking for, and I think some people even notice, is, you know, it's a good hockey crowd around here. People know the game. Like I said, that there's some competency out there, that the guys are figuring it out, that, you know, they're going to put, you know, more than an honest effort in, and that we're going to be in hockey games. And we've talked to our guys like, hey, let's play a type of game that gives us a chance at the end of the game to win. And if we do that often enough, we'll win our fair share. But, you know, even coming in at this point, even if I'd been here 10 years, any team that starts with, you know, 19 of their 25 guys is freshmen and sophomores, it's going to be tough. And, you know, we're going to need a little time. They're going to, you know, get a lot of ice time as young guys. So we're going to be in that phase. But, you know, just stay a little patience. There's always a little pain with change, regardless of, you know, what you're walking into. But I do like how our guys work, and hold them to that standard of excellence, you know, how hard they work, how good of teammates they are, and that they refuse to quit. And I think if we can kind of hold that standard, everyone will be happy.
Dan, of course, you were a key member of some of the most successful Spartan hockey teams in program history. But to be back in East Lansing as now the head coach of this program, what's it been like, and what's the camaraderie been like in these past few months when it comes to the other coaches here at Michigan State, coaches like Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio, Susie Merchant, and so on and so forth? What's that been like, kind of picking their brains and getting to know them better?
Yeah, you know what, it's been outstanding. And coming back, you know, one of the things I always remembered about State and kind of saw when I come back was just, you know, just the kind of blue collar mentality that the university has, and just the good people that are there within that mentality. And you know, that's held true. The other coaches have been outstanding, and you know, guys like Mark and Tom are unbelievably busy and pressed for time, and you know, they're two of the bigger faces, obviously, of our university, and pressed for time. But you know, they've gone out of their way to, you know, make themselves available and give advice. And you know, all the other coaches, you know, Jake Boss, I've known him and his dad for a long time, so it's great knowing them. And Casey and Golf, and you know, like you said, Susie and Kathy George, and I did some stuff with alumni groups over the summer. I mean, just everyone's been outstanding, and they make you feel like you've been here for 20 years. And I think, you know, Mark Hollis deserves a lot of credit for that in terms of fostering that type of environment. And it's just easy to walk into, and it makes you feel good. And I think has really settled things down and just made the transition for myself and my wife and family a heck of a lot easier.
You talk about advice from head coach D'Antonio and Tom Izzo. What advice have they given you, Dan?
Well, you know, I've asked a lot of questions, and you know, and just about, you know, how to approach things. And you know, I from the outside looking in, they're guys that you know, I told them both early on, is that, you know, I've had a lot of their newspaper articles or their interviews, you know, shown, especially with the U.S. national team, had those things up there. And just, you know, the things they say and the way they handle themselves have been a pretty big influence on me. But you know, I spent some time with Coach Izzo the other day, and you know, he didn't have an easy road of it his first couple years here either, you know, and taking over, and you know, just in terms of having patience and working through and doing things the right way and building the team with the kind of players that you want, you know, those type of things they're invaluable. Those are guys that have done it, and it hasn't been easy, but they got through it, and they're some of the best in the business. So you know what, if you can hang out with people like that and hang out with them often enough, hopefully some of it rubs off on you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Dan, I have no doubt you do a great job, my man. Again, our listeners out there, you can catch the MSU hockey team this weekend. Again, they open up a series against Bowling Green. The first meeting will take place on Friday, 7:30 p.m. That will be at Bowling Green. And then on Saturday at 7 p.m., you can catch the team at Munice Arena hosting the Falcons. Head Coach Danton Cole, we appreciate your time and good luck this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will welcome to the show Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker, as Alan will talk about the big loss for the Wolverines against the Michigan State Spartans on the gridiron on Saturday night. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Happy hump day, ladies and gents. It's a cold and rainy day here in mid-Michigan. Stay warm and stay dry if you can. It's not a great day, but hey, it's always a great day anytime you're tuning to WKAR's Current Sports, right? To close out our show, I want to invite a regular here on our airwaves. His name is Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. We had a fun segment last week, Isaac, with both Gant and former Michigan State University safety Otis Wiley in preparation for the big rivalry game that, again, resulted in a Michigan State dub over the Wolverines on Saturday night. Let's talk about rain, right? A rainy Saturday night at the Big House as we kind of let them loose and just let both talk some trash. It was a fun segment, a very fun segment. But you know what? Alan fell on the shorter end because, again, the Wolverines lose. And, you know, I went to school with Alan's current fiance. Now, it's a funny thing. Alan and I, we both had the same birthday. And her name is Leah. Leah graduated from Michigan State with me. So she's an MSU alum. And she sent me, and Alan's probably going to, he's probably going to have some words for Leah later on today, because Leah sent me some pictures of Alan, right, I'm guessing right when the game ended, and he looks absolutely devastated. Leah told me that they had some birthday preparations planned after the game. Alan decided, nope, I'm tired, I'm not in a good mood. He just fell asleep, and his phone died.
Oh,
so
no.
So Alan, first off, man, how true is that story?
You know what, Al? That's absolutely 100% true. I was not in a great mood after the game on Saturday. I'm sure she did show you the pictures. She showed all the pictures to a lot of her family members and friends. I was not in a great mood. I had plans for my birthday weekend, and those plans just completely vanished after that game.
Oh, my goodness. And I tell you what, she sent me the pictures. Would you mind if we post those on Facebook? I think our listeners will probably get a kick out of it. They're pretty good pictures, yeah. I must say.
Those pictures are pretty funny. I will give her that. Those pictures are funny.
So, Alan, first off, man, you know, you look at what happened on Saturday night. I have to ask this question because, you know, I'm hearing a lot of, you know, not even just here locally, but, you know, a lot of national media members now kind of putting Jim Harbaugh's feet to the fire. You know, you look at his record now when it comes to rivals. This is something we've highlighted all week. And he's 1-4 against both Michigan State and Ohio State. And, you know, I'm looking at online, you know, about, you know, just looking at Michigan fans that I know tweeting about Jim Harbaugh. And I feel like the leash is getting shorter, and Michigan fans want results, and they want results right now. Jim Harbaugh, fans still love him, but I feel like the perception is shifting a bit as to, okay, you got to start getting the job done. Do you echo those sentiments?
No, I really don't, just because, I mean, you look at it, my senior year, we were 5-7. So he turned a 5-7 team to a 10-win team, mm-hmm, the following year, and then another 10-win team the following year after that. I mean, you look at the history with the Michigan State and Ohio State when Coach Harbaugh came. Yeah, Michigan State won on a fluke muffed punt. All the games have been pretty close. Outside my senior year when we played Ohio State, I remember Ezekiel Elliott, JT Bear just ran all over us. But, I mean, you got to understand, the guy's a proven winner. This is really his first year where he has all his recruits. I think fans need to really just take a step back and really understand, you know, the big picture. I mean, looking at the game this past Saturday, the conditions were bad. Coming in, John O'Korn's first start of the year. I mean, there's a lot of factors to be played. So, honestly, the season is not over with at all. It was one game. There's a lot of time to correct these mistakes. And really, they control their own destiny even after that loss.
Yeah, and you know, again, 1-4 during Harbaugh's first five meetings against rivals Michigan State and Ohio State. Brady Hoke, a man who was, of course, fired in part for his inability to beat MSU and OSU in my eyes, he was 2-2 in his first two seasons. Harbaugh is 24-27 through 31 games, the same record as Brady Hoke. But I kind of agree with you, Alan, because I feel like a lot of Michigan fans, you know, are still goo-goo gaga for right. Jim Harbaugh. And seeing as though they did, that they have hired Jim Harbaugh, who was a great football mind, They think that success is going to happen just like that and that a national championship should happen off rip. It's right. going to take some time, especially with the amount of turnover that this team had last year, right?
Right, absolutely. And even when you're looking at the game this past Thursday, I mean, there were certain situations that we obviously did not want to be in. But I remember talking to you and Otis about it on Friday. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the special teams play. And I thought that the special teams overall was solid on both ends, but the field position is what helped Michigan State out a lot. And I remember speaking with my father about it before the game, and I told him, I said, the key for Michigan, get ahead before the weather kicks in, because I felt like once the weather kicked in, it would definitely be a dogfight. And I thought that Michigan State controlled the game better than Michigan did once the weather did kick in.
Yeah, I didn't even know about the weather conditions until you actually brought it up on Friday's show, yeah. Alan. And, you know, right now the Wolverines defense maintain that number one overall national ranking after Saturday's game and have allowed just 213 yards per game over five contests. Still very impressive numbers when you look at the Michigan defense. But, you know, on the flip side, Alan, I want to ask you about Michigan State, because this is a game that, again, throughout the records, Michigan State always gets up for. And, you know, you look at Mark D'Antonio now, he's 8-2 against Michigan in the last decade since the Mike Hart little brother comments. What did you like from Michigan State on Saturday night?
They were very poised. They didn't let the weather affect them at all. I thought that Coach D'Antonio had a great game plan coming in. And when you're looking at a rivalry game, I mean, anything can happen. Me personally, and I'm sure everybody across the country, didn't give Michigan State the slightest chance of winning that game. But Coach D'Antonio had a great game plan for that game. They controlled the line of scrimmage for the most part. They played really well on the defensive side of the ball. And I just thought he did a great job of getting his guys ready for that game.
Has the respect meter gone up a few notches in the eyes of you and Wolverines fans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you look at it, just even the past years of the Michigan State rivalry, there's always a level of respect, especially with Coach D'Antonio. I mean, numbers don't lie. He's 8-2 since being there, so there's definitely a level of respect there. He's a great coach. He's a heck of a competitor, and he gets his guys ready week in and week out.
Yeah, 8-2 in the last 10 years, 8-3 overall for Coach D against those guys in Ann Arbor. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to call in, we got about 3 minutes left here in the show if you want to get a quick one in. But, Alan, looking forward now for the Wolverines, have the expectations shifted now for this team?
No, not at all. Still, the Big Ten Championship is still at sight for the Wolverines. And like I said earlier, I mean, they really control their own destiny. Obviously, they will need a little bit of help being in the same division with Michigan State. But I remember we spoke about it probably the first week I was on the show. A lot of these teams potentially might end up losing between one or two games because they all play one another. So I think that as long as, you know, get back to the fundamentals and technique of the game, continue to execute the X's and O's, I think that the championship is definitely at reach for Michigan. Just have to tighten up the mistakes that were made the previous game.
Five turnovers for that Michigan offense. That's a stupid question. How big of a concern is that? It's a huge concern. John O'Korn, you know, and you look at some of his interceptions in that game. He threw three picks in the game. Is he the right guy moving forward now? And again, I think he has to be, seeing as though I don't believe Wilton Spate is still going to be out for some weeks here.
Right, right. Yeah, he's still definitely the guy moving forward. I mean, like I said, looking at the weather conditions that was happening during the game, I mean, any quarterback can struggle throwing the ball in the rain. But the one thing that I took away from the game is that Michigan State and the quarterback play handled it better than what Michigan did. Moving forward, there's games, especially coming up against Indiana this week. It's a good time, good opportunity to get the confidence back up, execute all the X's and O's during practice and being ready for this week's game. And that's the most important thing for right now is playing Indiana.
All right, Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Alan, thanks so much for your time, my man.
Thanks for having me, Al.
So you just heard what Alan had to say concerning the rivalry and how the respect meter has, you know, been, you know, bumped up a few notches here. And, you know, probably on tomorrow's show, Isaac, I got a text from a former coworker here at WKAR by the name of Luke. Luke right now is in L.A. Doing big things as an audio engineer for the film company Fox. And, you know, he's, of course, he's an MSU alum. He's a big Spartan fan. And he actually sent me a screenshot of some comments from Michigan fans on, I believe it's M Go Blue, the blog. And there were many Michigan fans out there that were, of course, highly upset about the loss. But calling out Jim Harbaugh and having an overall feeling that Michigan has constantly and far too often looked over Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans and are not taking this rivalry seriously, which has led to the 8-3 marker that Mark D'Antonio has throughout his career. What's your response to that? Because I feel like Michigan, they know how big this game is. I mean, it's a backyard brawl and a battle for the state of Michigan. And I feel like that's kind of an excuse that we don't get up for it. You get up for it. You just aren't better than the Spartans. I think, of course, they're going to have a hard time coming to that realization.
It's grown more and more into a rivalry in recent history.
It has.
But Michigan wants to pretend as if it's not one. They say, no, Ohio State's our real rivals. The thing is, nobody's your rivals who you lose to 8 of 10 times. That's not a rivalry. That's a demolition derby. They need to start treating this seriously or else more will continue.
I love how P.J. Fleck put it. During his weekly press conference, he was asked about whether or not he was surprised at Michigan State top Michigan. And he said, I think it should be the other way around. I think, you know, looking at the history of this rivalry and how Coach D'Antonio has fared, I would be surprised if anytime Michigan tops Michigan State. I love that. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Again, keep it locked for MSU Men's Basketball Media Day later on via social media. Be easy, people.